Back members, can we continue with our next meeting, which is the presentation by the ICC on their annual report. Okay, can we continue? I don't know where's Mem Ranto. Is she aware that we have started? Whip? Okay. Okay. All right. May we then take this opportunity to welcome officially the Chair of the IDC Board, Mem Mabuza, and the CEO, and the other delegation of the IDC. IDC is one of those very important institutions in our country, as explained by its own name, Industrial Development Corporation. It's supposed to be playing that role to ensure that we up our economic growth and we encourage more industries to be developed, and while at the same time helping in sustaining the ones that are in place. A lot of responsibility has been given to IDC. If you listen to the minister, there were funds that have been transferred to IDC to deal with particular programs as agreed by the executive and government. So today is our opportunity just to check as to how far has the IDC gone in implementing some of the decisions of the government, especially in as far as the 2015-2016 programs are concerned. So without a waste of time, let me then hand over to Babu Qhina. I know that there are new people within. You have a new CFO, and perhaps the chairperson also, Mambusi, doesn't know most of us here. This is an opportunity then for me to introduce the members of this team. I'll start with the youngster there at the end. Yeah. With the red shirt. It has nothing to do with communism. Honorable Mbatha, representing EFF. In the committee. Next to him is Dr. Kado, representing the DA. Next to him is Mem Mazimbi, representing the ANC. And then next to her is the whip of the committee, Babu Cele, also representing the ANC, followed by Mr. Pikinini, representing the ANC, and Ntate Tliani, also representing the ANC. We also have our support staff on my right hand side, Mayor Mbelekani Nwabisa, who's the researcher of the committee, and then on my left hand side is Mbele, Peter Paul Mbele, who's the secretary of the committee. What else? Yeah. The rest, I think, department and the PMG, the media, and the rest is your delegation. So can we then give you the opportunity to introduce myself, Mematula Coleman, the chair? Yes. Can we hand over to the chair of the IDC, of the board of the IDC, Mayor Mabuza?
Chair, thank you so much. I must acknowledge you, Chairperson, and the honorable members of the committee for this opportunity for us to come and report back on the year past. Chair, before I hand over, because my role today is that of support rather than of talking. So first of all, I'll allow each member of our delegation to introduce themselves, and then the CEO will take over. But before I ask David to introduce himself, Chair, my name is Busi Mabuza. Chair, I really am pleased to have had the opportunity to come here today. You will find, Chair, that the results that we are presenting to you show very clearly in the numbers the difficult environment that we operated in the past year. That environment continues. However, Chair, I hope you'll see in the numbers also the valiant effort of the staff and the management team to keep us above the water. Chair, I hope that it will also, especially in the presentation of the team, demonstrate to you the commitment of the staff to be counter-cyclical, to be in the market, especially when things are difficult, because as you say, Chair, our mandate is to be there for industrial development. So thank you so much, Chair. I'll hand over to David to introduce himself.
Chair, David Jarvis, Executive for Corporate Strategy, IDC.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Nonkululeko Veleti, the Chief Financial Officer.
Thank you, Chair. It's Aphindi Wenofuya, the Regional Officer of the Western Cape Region.
Kiwa Maruma, Managing the CEO of Office.
Thanks to the Chair of the IDC Board and to the Chair of the Committee and to the Honourable Members. As I always say, Chair, this is an opportunity we always cherish and indeed value, because it's an opportunity for us not only to come and report back, but also to come and get feedback from the members of the committee, since you are close on the ground. Also to provide us some sense on areas in which we can improve. So we indeed appreciate this. Chair, may I just check how much time do we have for the presentation?
Qhina up to the right version. Yeah. We'll give you up to three or so. No, it's three, up to four. Yeah, up to four. Sorry. Up to four, Baba.
Alright. Okay, yeah. So we'll...
So it's up to you to utilize the whole hour, or you'd want to use less time?
Thanks, Chair. I think we will try and be efficient and use less time so that we take more questions. As I say, I think the value for us is more on getting the input from the members. Chair, the Chair of IDC has indeed painted the picture of the period which we are reporting. It has not been an easy period, Chair, not only for the IDC, not only for South Africa, not only for the African continent, but globally. We've seen in the period, at least in that we are reporting, can you go to the slide? We've seen a very subdued growth globally. And this subdued growth has been widespread. In the period that we're reporting, really there were two countries that showed real growth, which contributed to the positive 3.1 that you see on the world. That was India and China, Chair. South Africa, in the period that we're reporting, was 1.3, but we know now that has been revised downwards. So this is also going to impact on the present year, which we will report sometime next year. Chair, also, when we presented to the Portfolio Committee in April, the plan for the next year, the five-year plan for starting from next year, we also did provide an update to the Portfolio Committee, an estimate. And at that stage, Chair, we had estimated that IDC would make a loss of over 1.5 billion at that stage. Because when we looked at the situation and what we experienced, that led us to that. But as the chair of the IDC board has said, a lot of work had gone through our efforts. And as you will see when the chief financial officer reports, we are reporting a profit, Chair, which will ensure that ourselves as IDC continue to be sustainable so that our level of investment continues, Chair. So, Chair, indeed, times are indeed tough, but institutions like the IDC or development finance institutions need to come to the party and play their role as catalysts. And Chair, also we're reporting when we have, at least in the financials that we're reporting, it's 12 months when we implemented Evolve, which is a new strategy. But as we speak now, it's almost about 17 months. I will share in the operations report some of the progress that we've made. But the numbers that you see is actually the first 12 months in our new strategy, in the environment which has been really, really being challenging. But let me hand over to the Chief Financial Officer. Chair, as I said, she's new. It's her first time presenting to this committee, but it's not the first time presenting to portfolio committees. She was previously with ESCOM and before she joined the IDC. So she came in and just hit the ground running, Chair. So, but we said she has been in tougher entities, so I'm sure she can handle the IDC. So over to you.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to the honorable members. Oh, it's actually the afternoon. It's been a long day. Chair, thank you. I will go through the financial performance of the IDC in the financial year ended 31st March 2016, and if I can just briefly take you through our operational structure as the IDC. We've got what we call a mini group and this is where we carry all the lending activities or investment activities, and therefore when the CEO talks through the operations and the investments that we've made in the financial year past, it would be focusing on this element called mini group. However, because we've got some of the investments that we made many years ago and in recent past, where we actually have control at the moment, we would have to consolidate those, and there are those that we've got influence and would have to account for those as well. So we've got an IDC group as a result. There will be a bit of a focus on Fosco, CIFA, and SCORE because those are our main subsidiaries that we consolidate. So there will be a bit of a conversation specifically around their performance in the financial year. So some slides will talk to the group, but some slides may talk to the mini group or the investment leg as it is relevant. Chair, if I may just quickly talk about the financial overview. We show a picture of 5 years, and the CEO has already mentioned that the past year has been more of a challenge compared to the previous years. We would have reported in our corporate plan that we're anticipating to make a loss of over 1.5 billion. However, due to efforts that were put in the organization, we managed to break even at 223 million rands. Now, it's critical to also note that, Chair, as the IDC, our primary role is development. It is job creation. However, we look at financial numbers just to make sure that we remain sustainable as an organization, and therefore it is critical that we continue to make a profit, or rather perform better than making a loss. Hence, we actually monitor this. But at the back of this is a lot of development activities, job creation that would have happened. So we had a profit of 223 million. And this was mainly driven by operating loss. We had a loss of about 494, if I just continue on the statement of comprehensive income at the bottom of that table. This number has got two elements to it. The financing activities, where we actually performed positively with a profit of about 1 billion rand. However, because of the subsidiaries that didn't do well, Fosco, SCORE, and CIFA, which we consolidated into our numbers, we report an operating loss of 494. The CEO will detail the performance of these subsidiaries and the activities that are being driven to turn them around and the challenges they would have experienced in the past. So to avoid repetition, I will not talk much about the activities that are being driven. But yes, indeed, in the past year they were challenged, but in the financing activities we actually did quite well at about 1 billion rand. Our associates, or the investments that we account for as associates, contributed about 500 million into our operations, hence the bottom line of about 200 million. So that is our operations for the year. If we look at our financial position, what we would call a balance sheet, we have 121 billion worth of assets, which is quite a strong position as an entity, even though in the previous financial years it was even stronger. However, it's been impacted by the economic conditions that we experience. We mentioned earlier that we are a counter-cyclical organization where we have to continue to invest in the economy when there are struggles, and these are some of the indications of the conditions in the economy. Chair, we consistently look after our cash position, where we make sure that at any point in time, we are able to be liquid and keep a financial position of having cash of about 3 months operations. Hence, you see about 6.8 billion of cash in 2016. This is part of our policy to just make sure that should we have a problem, we can sustain ourselves for a while we are dealing with the situations. For the financial year, we had total loans and advances at 23.9 billion. This would be made up of all the advances we would have made to different organizations over a period, adding up to 23 billion. In terms of investments in equity accounted investments, or rather where we invested equity, we have 71.5 billion. And this has dropped quite a bit. I will explain it a little bit when I talk about the reserves. Chair, in terms of other assets, the 18.9 billion relates to the assets that we have in our subsidiaries, the Foursquare and the Score, which we consolidate into our books. That is our asset base of 121.3 billion rands. In terms of our capital and reserves, we have quite significant reserves, and most of these would come from our listed entities where we would have invested a while back, like the Sasol, the Kumba Iron Ore, and so on. However, what we saw because of the economic conditions, and these entities are mainly linked to commodities, and when commodities don't perform, the share prices of these entities actually reduces, and as a result, we saw a reduction from 89.7 to about 84 billion in the year, and it was really driven by the resource companies that we have that were impacted by the commodity prices, and hence the balance that we see in the capital and reserve. Chair, we continue to use borrowings to run the business as the IDC. We run our business through borrowing from entities locally and internationally, DFIs and so on. We also use the money we receive from dividends and other entities that we've invested in to be self-sustainable. And therefore, we have actually increased our borrowings from 32 billion in the previous year to 36.5 in the financial year. If I can just go through a bit of a detail on the listed investments that impacted our balance sheet in the past year. We have three major investments that we highlight, or about four. It's Sasol, Kumba, Iron Ore, BHP Billiton, and Life Health. And there's many others that we don't individually list. But if you look at Sasol, there was a bit of an improvement if you compare March 2016 to March 2015 from 21.9 to 23.5. However, Kumba was impacted negatively because it dropped from 6.4 to 5.6. A significant drop came from BHP Billiton from 8.9 to 3.3 billion rands. Now, that is the impact that you see in the equity and reserves that we're reporting, which was a drop mainly driven by Kumba. Chair, these entities have had struggles, but they are busy implementing what they call response plans. We do meet with them about twice a year to understand what they are going through and how they are dealing with the issues they are experiencing, and they've assured us that they are implementing these response plans and they are already seeing some improvement in their business. An example with Kumba, they indicated that they would expect that in the near future they would probably be giving us some dividends because their response plans are beginning to pay off. But that's the challenges that have resulted in their performance, impacting their listed share prices dropping. Just a bit of a detail as well on the revenue side. We would have consolidated the revenue that comes from our subsidiaries. So although the subsidiaries overall made losses, they have actually contributed significantly to our revenue line with 13.8 billion, and about 12 billion of that is coming just from Score and Foursquare, about 6 billion each. So they have contributed to our revenue line, and you can see there's actually a bit of an increase in the 2 years. We then have the interest that we would receive from the investments and advances that we made. The dividend income shows a bit of a drop from 3.1 in the 2015 financial year to 2.7 in this financial year. And one of the reasons of that reduction is that Kumba Iron Ore, which I've highlighted earlier, would have normally paid us quite a significant dividend in the previous years. But due to the challenges they're experiencing in the past financial year, they did not declare any dividend, and it therefore had an impact on our revenue streams. And as I indicated, Chair, they are implementing some response plans which are beginning to pay off, and we are expecting that in the near future they would be able to pay a dividend. Chair, on the operating expenses, which is the internal resources that we use to run the business, the main resource is people. And therefore, our staff cost is a significant number in our operating costs at close to 1 billion rands. It is very closely monitored, as you can see that the growth is quite minimal over the 2 years. We've had some people that have left the organization, not so many, and a salary increase would have probably contributed. But overall, we operate the business with just over 800 people, and that's the cost thereof. But overall, you can see that our operating costs dropped from 1.3 billion to 1.279 over the 2 years. And we have been driving cost efficiencies in the business to try and do the business that we need to do with much less resources, and we've seen the impact of that being positive. And therefore, we have a ratio that we normally track, which is a cost-to-income ratio, which reduced from 26% to 24% over the period. The other number we track, Chair, is impairments in relation to investments that we make. The graph there gives you an indication of our investments at cost, which is the 69.5 billion rand, and the fair value of those investments, which is the 47.2 billion. Now, the impairment, we look at it as a number that we put in the income statement as a movement for that financial year. We also look at it as a ratio at cost as well as at the fair value of our investments. Over the period, this number has stabilized at below 18%, being 16.7 and 16.9 in the 2 years under review. We have been implementing some initiatives to just make sure that we do not have major impairments in the investments that we make. Chair, the IDC's responsibility is that of taking a risk that many other institutions wouldn't take, and as such, we sometimes go and invest earlier in places where many other institutions wouldn't go through. And therefore, there could be some investments where we have to make some provisions where we think we may not get a return or the investment may not realize. And that 16.9 represents, therefore, the impairments that we've made as a provision. And maybe I just need to highlight it is a provision. It does not mean that money has been totally written off. It just means that we are doubtful that we would recover that investment. However, we continue to implement strategies to recover whatever has been provided for. So at the moment, based on our investments that we've made, on cost we have made a 16.9% worth of provisions for impairments. We reverse these if these investments improve their performance, or we may have to increase where we are seeing challenges. But really it is based on the fact that we take risks. We are early investors. We have to be patient investors to make sure that we realize the developmental goals that we have set for ourselves in line with our mandate. And therefore, for the financial year past, Chair, in the income statement, we actually had to put in 3.6 billion rands worth of impairments, which also impacted our profits, and the percentage is at 6.9 at the moment. Chair, in terms of our asset base, I indicated the 121 billion. We look at our debt equity ratio. As you would know, the Act prescribes that we can go through up to 100% in terms of the gearing limit. However, the board has said that we should not go beyond 60% because we want to continue to be self-sustaining as the IDC while we deliver on our mandate to be developmental. And therefore, we monitor ourselves against that 60% gearing ratio as a target. And as we ended the year in March 2016, that gearing ratio was at 33%. And therefore, we still have a room to continue to increase the gearing, if so required, within the limits that the board has approved and far below the what the Act allows us. Chair, just as a last slide, we are a rated institution, and we work with two rating agencies. One is Fitch, which gives us a national rating. We have recently gone through discussions and process with Fitch. They've given us a latest report now at the beginning of October, where they have affirmed that we remain a AA-plus investment-grade entity, which is quite high because it's just one notch below the best in terms of the local rating. So we have an updated view of the rating agents being Fitch. On the Moody's, which rates us on international basis, and that gets linked to the sovereign, we are a Baa2, and we are currently going through a review with Moody's at the moment, which we expect would be closed by mid-November towards the beginning of December, and the outcome would be known. But it was quite encouraging that the outcome from Fitch was affirming our rating, and we will work with Moody's with the expectation that we would hopefully be affirmed at Baa2. But obviously, because this links to the sovereign, whatever happens to the sovereign will then impact us. If the sovereign is downgraded, we may be downgraded. If the sovereign is affirmed, we may be affirmed at Baa2. Chair, that is my last slide. Thank you.
Thanks, CEO. Chair, let's go through to the operational performance. Chair, in the operational performance, you will see there's a number of examples which, or call it case studies, which we have included. We normally do those, Chair. So this is to ensure that we really put the real stories behind the numbers, because sometimes when we have these numbers, they can really indeed be very confusing. But just to really put the face in them so that people can try and identify. So when I go through this presentation, Chair, I will not necessarily go through the case studies. I mean, I'm sure the members will go through them, but we can take questions in relation to those. What I'll do, the first four or five slides will just to remind the committee members about the strategy that we had and how far we're doing, and then we'll come to the performance for the 12 months, which is why we're here. Chair, as I said, we went on the 1st of April, implemented the Project Evolve, where we said we really want to be more proactive as an entity. We want to be at the center. We want to ensure that we play a role in influencing the development of this economy. So that meant we need to think differently. That meant we needed to look at our processes. And that meant we needed also to identify some of those key drivers in which we identified value chains. There's three value chains that we identified, being the metals, metal products, machinery, equipment, and mining, chemicals, plastics, and then agro-processing. Those were the three where we're saying when we invest in those sectors, we look at the total value chain. What that means, it means, for an example, if we're looking at an application for a plastic bottle, so somebody comes for a plastic, we look at where is the raw material? Is the raw material enough? Is there somebody supplying it? Is there an opportunity for us to localize that? If there are players who are playing that, that's great. But if not, then what role can we play? So where is the labeling coming from in all of those? So we look at the total value chain. So that's the approach that we took. So that meant we have to be really proactive. But also what we said is we needed to look at new industries. Industries which presently might look small, might not look very fashionable, but they've got great potential. An example would be if we're looking at on the storage side, on the energy storage, we know there's an opportunity for us to look at those in terms of those could be industries that would grow. So that those investments, we know they'll be long-term in their nature, but also the impact in time, be it in terms of developmental aspects, but also on the values will be high. What we also did was we looked at the activities that we have. We said there are some sectors that we are presently involved in. They don't qualify to be in value chains. They're not new industries. But the impact they have in the economy, but also in our investments, we call them special impact. And those we picked up two media in motions, because we know through media in motions, particularly the indirect effect that it has is much greater than the actual investment that you make in the media industry itself. And then we also looked at the clothing and textile. We know in terms of employment creation, that's one area. But also when we've seen the move, particularly for these local retailers, now with our exchange rate where it is, it's more better for them to procure locally. And also at the back of the support that the Department of Trade and Industry has been putting in this clothing and textile industry. So those were the two. But also we said there are some sectors which are high impact in their nature, which we can increase the volumes, but not necessarily have to look at the total value chains. And those are the high impact sectors that we looked at. So predominantly there'll be manufacturing, some light and heavy manufacturing. There'll be tourism as well in those sectors. And then underlying all of this is what we call industrial infrastructure, Chair, because we know the infrastructure is needed for these. But what we're not referring you to is the bulk infrastructure that either government and or other entities would provide, like the DBSA. We're saying there are players that are there and that they should continue. But we're saying if for us to unlock, particularly in the value chains, a sector or an industry, and there's infrastructure that is directly related on that industry is not present, what role should we play? In there is also the energy part, so both conventional and renewable. So those that was our different approach, Chair, which is almost now 17 months as we go. And we also did test this, Chair, to say, is it aligned to government policy, but is it also aligned to the current thinking? And we are comfortable that indeed we did select the right approach. So as I said, it's 17 months, and there is indeed a progress as far as that is concerned. So when we started, we had set ourselves a 24-month target, Chair, to see whether indeed this to use this as a measure to say indeed are we on the right path. So what we've done is, I think that's on slide 19. We took a scorecard, and there are areas which we think we're making good progress. But there's one area in particular in relation to jobs which is lagging. I will talk about that also. It will be very evident in some of our numbers. So in terms of our interventions, this is one area where we have to really up our game, particularly when we look at the level of unemployment where we are. So, but also during this period, Chair, we've also learned as well, because there's been some challenges. Obviously, when we started this, we had anticipated that the economy globally would be better than this. So that has had an impact, because in everything we do, Chair, we do it in partnerships. So when the global economy is weak, so that means opportunities to export are not as attractive as before. So some of the partners that we would ordinarily go with, they pull back. Some of them just take a wait and see. So that has impacted. So that's one of the challenges. But also we saw in terms of how quickly we can turn, particularly for the new industries, some of those new industries, it's taking a bit longer than what we had anticipated. When we look at high impact, we had said those are the ones that have got potential for us to really increase our level of activity. But we found that some of the business plans that we get are not as ready-made as we thought they could be. And as a result, we're spending a bit more time in ensuring that we do what we call hand-holding as far as that is concerned. But all of this also, Chair, has indeed provided some opportunities. We've seen new industries, for an example, in the new industries part, the separation of gas as an opportunity where we're working on. It's still early stage, but hopefully when we come in the months, in the years to come here, we'll be talking about a massive industry in terms of its potential. But also we've seen with the continued support, particularly on the special high impact sectors, with the continued support by the Department of Trade and Industry on the competitiveness program, that we are able to continue to really indeed stimulate the textile industry, the textile and clothing industry. But also our engagement with the retailers has indeed ensured that we improve as far as that sector in particular. Now, coming to the 12 months that we're reporting, Chair, I'll pick up these are the highlights, but we'll unpack them in the next slides. 14.5 billion is what we approved in 180 transactions. We disbursed 11.4 billion jobs that will be created and or saved from these interventions is 15,000. We approved 4.9 billion for black empowered companies. Those would be companies with at least 25% black owned. 8.9 billion in manufacturing. This is indeed for us a good sign, because this is one sector that we need to really to stimulate the manufacturing. 1.2 billion in businesses where women ownership is at least 25%, and 2.9 billion in black industrialists, which is this in partnership with the DTI. I think we are indeed playing a role of bringing black entrepreneurs into the core of the economy. But also one area, Chair, which we've made good progress is on supporting businesses with the youth ownership of at least more than 25%. Now, if we're to compare these, the approvals, at least the first part, the activities, which is the approvals and the disbursements, Chair, you'll see that the approvals themselves in the last 5 years, this has been the highest, and the disbursement in the last 5 years is marginally the second highest. So that means even though times are tough in terms of creating new, supporting new industries, new companies, and saving the existing ones, we have indeed improved. But I'll hasten to say, as much as the board has appreciated that, it had said, in line with the shareholder, we still have to do more. We had set ourselves a target of 500 billion over 5 years, and at this stage, we need really to increase our level of activity. So that is one area. But also, what we need to do is to create new companies and support new companies, bring in new players as well. Speaking of new, we have existing entities, which is our subsidiaries, the CFO referred to them. There's three big ones. We have about 120, I think, subsidiaries and associates, but three big ones, two big ones, and really, and one significant one, which is Small Enterprise Finance Agency. On Fosco, Chair, we've put in an effort to modernize the Richards Bay plant, because this has been a very old plant, and it needed really to be invested. I think as I came in, the minister did refer to that. So this is one area where we've put in money and effort, because as we know, it exports some of its phosphoric acid. But having said that, the phosphoric acid market is very soft, and as much as we are investing in modernizing and the plant, we still have to deal with the issue of the prices. Fosco is very key, Chair. It's the only phosphoric plant in South Africa. It's very key on the agricultural sector. So it is important that, as not only for South Africa, but also for SADC at least, it's important, because this is, if you look into the rest of the continent, it's one of the very few that actually beneficiates phosphate, and phosphate is very important in our agricultural space. So obviously the impact of the drought is also affecting its performance as well. As far as the score is concerned, Chair, we own 74% there. In fact, the process of introducing strategic equity partners is far advanced, Chair. We are planning that by the time the financial year ends, which is March next year, that process should have been completed. What you're looking at there is people who will bring in markets, is people who will bring in capital, is people who will bring in technology. So we're looking at that combination, because indeed, SCOR, as the CFO referred to, has actually also experienced some challenges. To some extent, because of the slowdown, it supplies the mines, some of that input was reduced. To some extent, it also participates in supplying entities like Transnet, and now if their freight is reduced, that also impacts on them in terms of the orders that they put in. And one other entity, CIFA, I saw the CEO of CIFA he presented yesterday to the Portfolio Committee of Small Business Development. CIFA has grown rapidly, and now when the economy is tough, it is dealing with the issue of collections. This is one area which we are very close to it, to ensure that indeed it is able to collect. Because the market which it operates in, Chair, is a market that is very, very vulnerable. So they don't have the shock absorbers that some of these big companies would have. Now, having said this, Chair, the board has said, we hear you, management, you're doing all of this, but we want to be close to these companies. So the board is providing even more closer oversight. On Fosco, we've got a board risk committee that is seized with an opportunity to look at this and ensuring that we continuously report. And then in SCORE, the board investment committee, which is these two are subcommittees of the board that are looking at it. And all of these entities, we've had an opportunity to do what we call a deep dive to the whole board. So we present in terms of where we are. And in fact, we're planning to do another one for Foursquare as well. So it's the lack of performance of these ones is top of mind for the board, and hence there's an extra added attention to these. Now, breaking down where these approvals and the disbursements have gone, Chair, we are comfortable that the bulk of these are going to the value chain. So that means it is indeed talking to the strategy that we have. So be it metals, chemicals, agro-processing, Chair, is one area, if I talk to challenges, in addition to the jobs area, which we need to do. That's one area which we are putting in more effort. In that unit, we had a head who was new and is battled to fit into the organization, but has since left, and we are putting in more effort to ensure that we increase that. Because this is one area where we can create jobs much faster, and we can indeed increase that. Even though we are still having to deal with the issues of drought, because remember, we process and then whatever is being planted. So we work to a greater extent with the land bank. Now to unpack on the three value chains, some of the subsectors where this is, that we've seen basic metals mining and mining of coal and automotive. So this is where the areas are. Chair, these numbers do not include the investment which we have made in Port Elizabeth on the new automotive, because that one has happened after the year end, so that will be reported in the new financial year. So that gives us a sense. And as I said, Chair, then we have some examples. As I said, I will not spend time on them, but I want to just on Bell Equipment, Chair. In 2008, this entity was in trouble. This is the only OEM on yellow goods in South Africa. It was in trouble. IDC stepped in. We saved it. They've come back to us, but this time to expand into North America. So I think this is indeed a good success story of showing if a DFI does its job well and picks up the right companies, and we have the collaboration of those companies, indeed, what can happen. So we're looking at an expansion. There's other examples on Phalaborwa Copper. Not only are we ensuring that the smelter is compliant in terms of environmental, but it gives really support to what we call when we talk about beneficiation. So not only are we going to save jobs, but this intervention is indeed assisting them. We're bringing in a new capacity in localization, the gas cylinders. We used to, as a country, have that capacity that has gone, but we're bringing it in. In this instance, the beauty is that even black women industrialists are indeed being included in here. The next value chain is on chemicals and pharmaceuticals, where Fourscore is also included, which is why you'll see the biggest part would have been the reinvestment that we're making in Fourscore. But that also gives you a sense of the different parts of that. And Chair, in this value chain, we are also investing in new technologies, technologies which will in the future really indeed put South Africa right in the forefront. I mean, that example that we're looking at there, this is indeed high tech, and hopefully with our involvement, not only will it only just stay high tech, but we can spread it to ensure on the medical space that even those people that would ordinarily find it difficult to access it are able to do that. Because this, I think, it's a scanning mechanism where in future it will be able to make it easier for you to detect where cancer is, and then so that people can be able to attack it much quicker. On the agro-processing, Chair, I did say this is one area which we're going to put in more effort. We have put in money to assist the through the land bank so that we assist in the drought side, because it is important for us that the primary agricultural space does indeed prosper, so that we can be able to have some things that we can process. There's two examples which I will not spend maybe as much time on them, Chair. And then there's other sectors, Chair, that we have. Well, obviously, there's the what we call industrial infrastructure, which there's conventional coal, conventional power, and also renewable. In these numbers, Chair, we don't have those big REP approvals that we had in the past. If you'd remember, in the last 3 or 4 years, we had billions of rands that we've put in that. But we had done the work. That's why you'll see in that last paragraph, we had done the work on the REAP program for 6.1 billion, but because it was not, they were not adjudicated yet, so we can't include it either on the approvals on the disbursements, because we want to include things where we are certain that indeed those will happen. The case study we included here for us is a good one, because this is a new industry, renewable energy, but we're bringing in youth. Youth who want to be involved, youth who want to be have rolled up their sleeves and gotten involved, and that's why we showcase that one. We also have on the other two, on the television studio, which is being developed by Black Industrialists out there in Johannesburg, in Gauteng. And then there's also other sectors, Chair, manufacturing and tourism. Those will be the high impact sectors. So slide 38 gives you an indication of where we have. We're still investing in tourism and all the others. As I mentioned, textile, we've seen that indeed we are indeed making good progress, because there are very good niches as far as that is concerned. Let me go to the jobs side, Chair. I cannot overemphasize the disappointment we have on this one, because this one, the trend has been going the wrong way. So, this is not a good trend, particularly when we have 26.6% unemployment. I think the board has made it clear that this is one area we need to improve, and the shareholder equally so has indeed said the same. Some of the examples that we've put in, we're showing Exaro there, where we put in 800 million, because at the back of that, it's on the coal mine, but we know it's going to supply Medupi, a power station, but we know at the back of this, jobs will be created in that mine. The other area, as I indicated in our highlights, Chair, which we've done fairly well, is on the black industrialist, Chair, where not only now are we looking at just funding businesses that are owned at least 25% by blacks, but we're putting in and we're supporting black industrialists in the core of their business. Because for us, it's people who who control the company, either they're 51% or they control it through the board, but who are operationally involved in that, either through sitting through the board as part of management of the board. It's not that's how we define black industrialists, Chair. But also the other area which we're making a good progress, Chair, is on funding enterprises which are at least there's 25% women ownership in them. And side by side with that, with the youth entrepreneurs as well, because we know for youth, this is an area where those would be the ones that should be able to take this country forward. So it's important that they get involved in that. So we've got a couple of examples where the first one is on black industrialist. The next one is here. We're seeing really a partnership, and we're supporting a new entrepreneur. And the next one is on supporting a young black industrialist. Chair, we do realize that IDC is not only in Sandton; it is a national development finance institution. Although it also goes into the continent, so it is important that our activity does cover the rest of the African continent, of South Africa, at least as a start. And one area which we still continue to find as a challenge, Chair, and I'm hoping when we interact with the committee members, they can give me tips as well, is the province of the Free State, where I think we have consistently, at least in the last 3 years, we've put in lots of efforts. We've even, in fact, now we've even changed the regional manager. We've put in a lady, so we thought maybe the man who was there tried, but I think we need new thinking. So we put in a lady. So hopefully that can really try and help us. But this is one area which we're consistently underperforming, and we're not proud of that, Chair. Investing into the rest of the, we've got a couple of examples, Chair, which I will not spend time on. But maybe before I go into the rest of the continent, Chair, we have what we call corporate social investment, Chair. I know normally when we talk IDC, all we look at is just the investments, the big investments, but also there's a CSI program which we look at. This year in particular, Chair, we went to Willowvale and we built a school. This was inspired by an article which we saw in the City Press, where children, when the storm came, it took, I'm not sure what's the right English word, but they ended up being crowded in one classroom made up of mud. So we went in there. It's not our space. We don't build schools. We have partnered with the Adopt a School Foundation, where we've adopted 20 high schools and 10 primary schools. But in there, it's a whole school development program. But in this case, we said we have to do something. And because these are the youth, this is the primary schools. This is the youth that has to be given an opportunity for the future. So we chose a difficult one. We didn't want an easy one. And that was launched last year. So there's a number of other initiatives, Chair, that we look at from the CSI point of view, largely on the education side, but also on the entrepreneurship side. We look at those, Chair. In terms of the rest of the African continent, we continue to invest, although last year our investment were not at the levels that we wanted to. But we know the success of the South African economy it really depends on the rest of Africa, although being successful as well, which is one area which we will continue to do that. We have an example where in Zambia, on the copper side, where we've invested. And that would hopefully, not only is it talking about investing in mines, but it also talks to the issue of beneficiation, which is very important, Chair, so that when other countries whom we've sent the resources decide to change their growth drivers, at least the impact is less felt than we have. Chair, as I said, the economy has been tough. We have also looked at the drought side. I spoke about that with the land bank. But we've also looked at some of the companies. Some of them are existing companies, but some of them are companies when we've interacted with what we did was we got our chief risk officer and our executive in charge of post-investment to have conversation with a number of banks to see, are there companies that are finding it difficult? How can we intervene in those companies? And that's what we did. So we've looked at those, and from that interaction, we've restructured facilities of about 2.9 billion. I mean, they are not on the numbers that we, in terms of the approvals, but that's some of the interventions that we've said, which is the role that a development finance institution should play, particularly as a counter-cyclical role. So, Chair, really the story is the IDC balance sheet is still strong. We do realize that we have to continuously increase our level of activity so that our impact is maximized. We have made good progress in certain areas, particularly on the developmental part, but there are areas which we still have to improve, particularly in relation to jobs, and also on the agro-processing side. But we're saying, Chair, we have chosen the right strategy as far as Evolve is concerned. And we are committed as an entity, Chair, to play our role as a development finance institution to ensure that we are at the center of the South African economy and we continue to make a difference. Thank you very much, Chair, for your attention.
Thank you very much. the chair and also the CEO for that presentation, including the CFO. Yeah, you hit the ground running, CFO. Can see that. The issue of four score of score has been on the map for some time, and I think this is an opportunity also to inform the nation of what is the position of the IDC on these two, you can call them subsidiaries. We just want to understand, we did get the story, but the final word, what is the position? I know you have a team established, but what are the intended objectives? So that we can be in a position to understand the stance of the IDC on the two. It is important that we get clarity on that, otherwise we'll be confused by media statements, you know, from time to time. I must also acknowledge the fact that your team is becoming gender sensitive and very representative. Well done. The issues we are dealing with are very serious issues. The fact that you are operating in a very volatile, under volatile conditions, I think is also another thing. We shouldn't just take that lightly. It's not a very easy thing to do. We understand that. We also understand that you have a responsibility to guard your investments, you know. With your all might, if you can. And that would mean that you really employ your best resource or human resources in as far as monitoring of those investments are concerned, so that your voice is heard. I don't think it's just about putting in money into various companies or turning, you know, your thing into equity, your loans into equity that counts. All what counts is ensuring that those companies really function as sustainable as possible, so that we are able then out of those companies to build the economy that everybody will be proud of, and also make sure that we create and protect the jobs that have already been created there. I think that's the role that we must play. Ours is just not investment and making sure that companies, you know, they become bigger and what is just to ensure that they become sustainable also. With the ultimate aim, of course, of ensuring that we produce locally and we become proud of our products, and then we are able to export them with the quality that is necessary. And I'm happy that the job you are doing, it's just the emphasis that you are making. You are already into that, but there are areas where you really have to strengthen. I just thought I must talk to that before I open up for members to ask questions. Please, members, you're limited to two questions for this round. We can go on and go on if you wish. Babu Kel, I'll give you first.
Thanks, Chairperson. I must thank the Chairperson of the Board for the introduction that she has made. and also welcome and appreciate the report by the CEO, Mr. Maclina, and the CFO. Chair, I've got only two questions. As the African National Congress, issues of accountability are important to us. Therefore, I would like to ask IDC, is the OK Bay that being serviced, and has IDC lost any money on the transaction? That's one. Number two, is the IDC not spending too much of its funds on already established companies at the expense of venturing into new and innovating companies? How much risk are you prepared to take in order to invest in the youth? Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Mabuqele. Can we raise our hands again? Okay, I'm noting Babu Mbata, Mema Tsimbi, Dr. Kado, Bob Pignin, and then Datitlia. That order.
Okay. Thanks, Chairperson. I have one question. My question is, in your focus on the program on black industrialists, I just want to check, do you assist them on the trail of new opportunities that the government has identified? Because if that's the case, then they could venture into new opportunities that has probably a better focus than joining other established businesses as BEE partners. The history of BEE in this country has not been a good one. And it will be a false start if industrialists follow that track, becoming percentage holders, chairpersons, for whatever reason. It has shown that at the end of the day, the person that came last in the business is the one who's vulnerable, even though he's being called the precious partner. When the going gets tough, white monopoly capital reject the last color they invited. And that's the truth. Now, black industrialists, in order for them to be sustainable, they have to be part of a picture of industrialization, meaning everything that the government wants to industrialize, it must deliberately invite them, set aside, sometimes establish them, meaning pull people that were not talking to each other, make them to talk to each other. Because sometimes it takes such unification of skills to create a new successful business. Now, for me, it will be interesting to note if those kinds of ideas are the ones that maybe whoever is making proposals to you are the ones that are linked to the journey, or maybe we're going back again in a different name.
Thanks, Tete Mbata. Mema Tsimbi.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also welcome the presentation and really congratulate IDC for having Umama. We'll drink to that. We are well represented as Abu Mama, and we'll move forward knowing that you empower a woman, you empower a nation. It's not just a saying. You are welcome, Mama. IDC, some of the companies where you are shareholding, companies like Fosco and Sasol, have been involved in cartels or anti-competitive behaviors. Lona, as a state-owned entity, how do you plan moving forward to ensure that those companies where you are shareholding comply with the country's competitive laws? That's one. The other one is just a comment on the distribution of funds provincially. As I look not only Free State, it's not performing. But we cannot be having about 4 or 5 provinces that you are disbursing for 4, 5, 6. I mean, it's not balanced. If you check Gauteng at 34, Western Cape at 23, and KZN at 14, but the rest 4, 3, it's not a real move. Now my suggestion would be, make it your homework, make it your assignment, coupling it with Free State. Create as much awareness as possible. Make it a pilot project that will start when until where. Involve the provincial economic departments, involve the municipality, the entities to say we have this challenge, we are here, we are at the service of the people, but we don't get the response that is needed. So that communities can really feel the interventions that you wanna make and the initiatives that you wanna bring to the communities. Thank you.
Member Simbe, Dr. Kado.
Thank you, Chair. My two questions relate on the one hand to FOSCOR and SCORE, and given that they were largely responsible for the 90% drop in the IDC's profits this past year, I mean, haven't they become albatrosses around the neck of the IDC? I know you referred in your presentation to you're in talks with strategic equity partners, but hasn't the time come to sell them off altogether? My second question is around future growth. Africa's biggest private fixed income money manager, which recently announced that it would be holding future growth, which recently announced that it would be holding back loans worth $1.8 billion to the IDC and to a number of other state-owned enterprises, and it said that they would only resume offering those loans once proper oversight procedures were in place. I wanted to know whether Future Growth has conducted due diligence on the IDC, and if so, what recommendations has it made, and how will you go about implementing them? Thanks.
You kept your promise of the media statement. I can hear that. I can see that. Thank you. Who was next? Bob Biginini?
Yeah. Thank you very much. Mine, Chair, is a simple one, Chair. It's the one of the ABSA and the ITC considering option that may lead to the opening of the Everest Highfield Steel and Fana Dam Limited. Heavy section steel mill after it was shuttered when the business was wound down. Could you call the ITC provide us with details on that one? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, Mr. Klina, for the presentation. Before the question, maybe let's just commend the IDC for the initiative that they've taken in the Eastern Cape in helping that community with the rebuilding of the Nkongwana primary school, also ensuring that there is clean water and sanitation in that school. May we make a request to the IDC to put an eye on the school. I know it's not really your responsibility, but to put an eye on the school to ensure that the relevant institutions there and community structures take care of the school, and also to ensure that there is a proper road that goes to the school, just to make it easy for visitors and companies dropping things there and so on. The school must be accessible. That is just a quick comment. Two quick questions, Mr. Greener. You mentioned one cooperation that you had with the Land Bank, and I loved it. I just want to check whether there is no opportunity where the IDC would take the lead. I know you might need the EDD, you know, to be central in that process, but I think the IDC should take a lead and strive for more cooperation with sister institutions, like your Development Bank of South Africa, like your National Empowerment Fund, and so on and so on. I think you have to come together in specific initiatives. You'd be able to make a much bigger impact on society than is the case where everyone is doing their thing there and so on. And lastly, Chair, it's a question that we asked earlier on in another presentation. We just want to know whether there isn't any facilitation that the IDC would do, perhaps through the Department of the Department, to provide more support to that company, Cape Ray, because you've provided the foundation there, but now they are stuck from another angle, you know, in terms of regulatory, you know, compliance and all those other things. They can't really operate, and some of your money is in there already. Is there any way that you can, you know, try to find some assistance within the relevant institutions of government to make sure the things start to work, and they get those machines, they take them to clinics in the rural areas, in the townships, and save many lives? I thank you very much.
Thanks, Senator Tisliane. Any other? Same Kolumela, no? Okay. Can we hand over to the IDC for responses?
Thank you, Chair, and thanks to the members for the questions and the comments. Chair, as a very efficient CEO, I will delegate as well. We should know that. So maybe let me start with a number of other questions are linked, Chair, so we will group those. But let me start with the CFO. Maybe if she can start with future growth, I think, so once we group the others together.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, in terms of future growth, Chair, the issue that Future Growth read, raised was that they are reading a lot of different things in the paper. So they were not specifically saying there are issues of A, B, C, and D, but they said we're reading a lot of things, but we're not sure what's happening. And you would have remembered in the recent past, there's been a lot of talk in the papers around things that are happening in some state-owned entities. So out of what they read, they decided to choose the 6 state-owned entities that they mentioned, and they said we will hold lending to these institutions until we've gained some understanding of what is happening internally. And their questions were around how is the governance in the institution? So how does the board operate? How is it constituted? How are the meetings held? How are the decisions taken? And so on and so on. And because we are an institution that lends or gives out money, how are our credits or lending processes, as well as procurement, which is not very big in our case. So we've had a number of interaction with Future Growth since they raised the issues. We visited them around the 22nd of September in their offices, and that was really the first big meeting to understand where they were coming from with the issues after they had sent us some detailed questions which we had responded to. And since then, Chair, in that meeting specifically, we actually invited them to our head office, IDC offices in Johannesburg, because they are based here in Cape Town. We invited them to Johannesburg, where they specifically met with some board members. Chair was one of the persons they met. They met with the chair of the board investment committee, the chair of the audit committee, and the chair of the risk committee, basically to get it from them directly how they operate and so on. We've given them a lot of IDC policies, procedures to go through and review. In the last week, myself and the CEO had to attend the IFM meeting, so we were not in the country, and we are now coming back to check, based on the visit they've done at IDC, is there any further issues they are concerned about. And in fact, Chair, just after before this meeting, I had a telecon with them. The sense I'm getting is that the policies we've sent and the meetings they've had with the board members and some of the executives in the organizations have given them comfort in terms of how the IDC operates. Obviously, we need to get to a point where we can now say they are happy with the due diligence and they can start lending to us. So there isn't anything significant, or the word they used, there is nothing fundamental that they've picked up in the work they've done so far, but we need now to formalize the report. So they may come up with a report that has one or two recommendations because they do think differently, and we will go through that conversation with them. So what we are hoping for is that when we get back to the office around next week, we would finalize whatever is still outstanding on their side. They have said they are taking the work they've done on the IDC on the 19th of October to their credit committee to give them feedback, because these concerns are coming from their investors, their shareholders. So they will take it through their credit committee, who will then hopefully write a report to their shareholders. And we are hoping that by the end of October, this conversation would be over. We will have to agree how we communicate, as it was a public matter at the time. Yes, Chair, we work, in fact, it's an important question you're raising. We work with fixed asset investors, so that there's quite a number of them here in Cape Town. And in that week that we were in Cape Town, we did a roadshow with all of them. And maybe I should mention that I think we met more than six. We were in 2 days here. We met more than six. So in terms of our, I showed in a slide that we've got about 36 billion of debt. In there, there's about 6 billion that comes from the bond market in total, which comes from these asset managers. And future growth in that 6 billion holds 2 billion rands worth of debt. So it is important for us to keep that relationship with future growth, because they are one of our bondholders. But we've got many others, and they were very positive about the IDC, every one of them, both in Cape Town and Johannesburg. So we would like to continue with a relationship with future growth as they've participated in our bond issue, but we are comfortable that we will close the conversation.
Thanks, CFO. Chair, there was a question on, are we investing in new versus the old? I'll ask David Jarvis to look at that, to give a response, and also on the level of our risk, the level of our risk, are we really indeed taking risk, particularly in relation to youth? And then also there was a question on the black industrialist. I think Shando asked that question, so we'll ask David Jarvis to also address that, and then I'll take the other things. Yeah.
Thanks, Chair. So the question was, are we putting too much funding into existing companies? Now, obviously, if you're putting funding into existing clients and it's expanding their capacity, or they're trying something new and innovative, they're creating jobs, then it's good to develop those kind of partnerships, because we do form long-lasting relationships. We're a patient investor, and so that would obviously be beneficial to both us and the partner and obviously the South African economy. I suppose what's behind the question is, if we are propping up companies who are in distress because they are our existing clients. And obviously in this distressed environment, we do have to support some companies through that kind of activity where you support that you restructure their financing or that. So we do provide that kind of facility. The focus is really, and I think we've just come out of a board strategy session, is really on identifying new opportunities and new clients. I mean, part of our new strategy is to have a look at new industries of the future. We have to future-proof not only the IDC, but also the South African economy. We have to look for new opportunities. So really, we do need to focus a lot more on innovation, and that's normally within new clients as well. In terms of the risk we take, we do take a lot more risk than most financial institutions. We invest in startups. We often start projects ourselves where we think there's a strategic opportunity because we want to expand industrialization. obviously, we part of our due diligence is to look at the risk aspects of our clients. And it could be not just the stage, but maybe they don't have the right kind of securities, or they don't have the balance sheet. And here, IDC does definitely step in and take more risk. But we also mitigate that risk. So if it's youth, if it's black players who are new entrants, we mitigate that risk. How? We support our clients. We provide them with we analyze first where there might be technical issues. Is it on the marketing? Is it on the financial skills? And then what we do is we support them through business support to make sure that the business will succeed. Also, as part of last year, because of our focus, increasing focus on the development impact, we established a unit that really looks at how it's called development impact support. It's got youth specialists, for example, who are responsible for making sure that we develop our youth entrepreneurs. Because the last thing we want to do is, because we want to have more youth entrepreneurs, we overload them with responsibility, and it could lead to them getting into financial trouble. So we make sure that we support them on their journey and assist with their succeeding. That unit that I mentioned also is looking at how we do these deals. So are we doing deals in a way that we structuring them so that we can bring in more youth and bring in new entrants? And they play an important role there, working with our deal makers on their pipeline. In the terms of the black industrialists, we want to support both black industrialists who are new entrants as well as black economic empowerment. So we don't see it as an either or. But the new focus for us really is putting more emphasis on black industrialists, because we want to see these industrialists who are active in the business, they play a role in the operations of the business, and they have a controlling shareholding, even if it's not a majority shareholding. And there again, we do actively support them through business support. We have concessionary finance, which means we provide them cheaper money for their activities. It was announced last year that we give 150 basis points concession on our funding. And also we do exactly look for those opportunities to support black industrialists in terms of the market demand. So we work closely with other state-owned companies to look for opportunities where we can develop, bring in new black entrants and black industrialists in particular. We've had forums where we bring in the procurement offices of the SOEs, as well as potential black industrialists and black suppliers. And we play that role of trying to link them up. And if finance is an issue, then obviously we can come to the party. I think that covers it.
Maybe just one last point on the black industrialists. The role that the Department of Economic Development is also playing, I mean, I think one good example is on the MassMart deal, where there's been opportunities to actually introduce them to the market, to partner with them, with the MassMart, we've done that. So we're also looking at the others entities. In fact, there's one very good case study here. It's a youth and a black industrialist here, where now they started on the noodles factory, and now they've been linked with MassMart so that you can really expand. Because let's face it, when you bring in a new product, people don't trust it and don't believe it, and you want somebody to really partner. And we're trying to do that. And I think Mohammed behind me is really playing a role in really trying to help us unlock some of those opportunities. Speaking of Mohammed, Chair, there's a question on what can we do with Cape Ray. Because Mohammed has been so very good, Chair, I'm going to ask him that he needs to help us with Cape Ray. In fact, he's been, I think the department, I must say, Chair, the role the department has been playing is very commendable. I'm not saying because they are here. You know, we invest in a number of companies, and sometimes there is a need to unblock, particularly on the regulatory aspects. And that's where EDD helps us, indeed, talking to other departments, maybe either issues of water licenses and whatever, and I think the gentleman behind me has indeed been very useful. So we'll take that, the Cape Ray, we know indeed they are battling on some of those aspects, but we will engage
with Mohammed Sue that we see how we best we help. As far as the cooperation and the land bank is the one that we did this year. We do indeed cooperate, with the DBSA in particular on a number of projects. So we do that, and then we have also co-invested in some areas with the National Empowerment Fund. So but also not only have we limited that to the national development finance institutions, we also collaborate with the provincial development finance institutions. In some instances, we've helped them build their capacity, but also in other instances, because they are closer on the ground, we work with. There's always room for us to can do more, and we should improve, and it should not only be with the development finance institutions, but with just other entities in government. Then the impact, I think, can even be much, much better, and I think this is one area. In fact, with the approach that we've taken in Evolve, for us to be able to do this, we have to do it in partnership. So it actually forces us to do that. And in some instances, there's been good successes, in others, not there. So, but we are going to indeed work better. The other initiative which the EDD is playing a role is on the PICC, where that we've seen that has helped try and foster some cooperation, although it's at the back of the infrastructure, but it's also looking at the inputs in that. And that's one area which we need to do much more. I'm not sure whether the minister did indeed talk to that. And on Nkongkwane, thank you for the advice. We will indeed make sure that we are closer to that. You know, when we were opening the school, I said, members, to the principal, I'm not sure whether he did see that as a... I'm not sure how she took it. I said, this is a school. It shouldn't be a church on weekends. Because we've seen, in some instances, the schools get overused, and then the infrastructure does indeed do that. So maybe we'll ask David Jarvis to go on one Sunday and visit Willowvale and see whether there's a church service or not. In there. But thanks for the advice indeed. We will ensure that the infrastructure is looked after very well. In fact, what we've done, not only have we said we will just do, as I said, we do what we've got, what we call the whole school development program. So it's the building in this instance, but we've also linked them up with that, because also looking at the teachers, whether do they need any training in certain areas, but also you look at the school governance, is whether do they need any assistance. So through that whole school development program, we've also linked them in there so that we can ensure that indeed that works. The question on... I'm leaving Foursquare and Score last because there's a number of questions together which I will address just now. On AMSA and IDC opening the Highveld, the steel part of the Highveld, we're making good progress. I must say, in fact, maybe I should have said this is one of the areas where we have not been as successful as we wanted to. It's an area where we have been disappointed, because when Highveld went into business rescue, we put in 150 million to stabilize it, and we spent months trying to find a strategic equity partner, working with the business rescue practitioner. And when we thought we have the partner, but when it came to crossing the line, it was difficult. So we did not achieve that. That was a big disappointment. But what we said is, what is Plan B? Now, there's close to about 2,000 people that lost employment there. So we said, okay, is there a portion at least that we can save? And we're making good progress. Because, you know, these big steel beams that you use for construction, only Highveld in South Africa produces them, only Highveld. Now, since it is closed, those are imported. So that provides an opportunity. So that's the part that we're working with AMSA to bring it back in there. So, but now one has to be very careful, because AMSA is a dominant player, so we don't want to create anti-competitive behavior, which will lead me to the next question. So we're talking to them, and we're trying to structure a deal which now suddenly we don't give them this opportunity, and suddenly they have the unintended consequences and they dominate. But that one is a good platform for us to do what we call import replacement. And I think once it's fully implemented, we will bring back about 600 jobs. So we're working tirelessly to at least try and save a little bit of that part. Let's talk Oak Bay. I want to leave Foursquare last. Okay, let's talk the distribution of funds and the provincial spread. I think the observation, I've emphasized on Free State because it's been really a difficult one. Maybe what we should have done, David, we should have shown the portfolio across the whole province. Because in other provinces, although for this year it looks low, but if you look at the portfolio in totality, they are much better than Free State. Free State is one, but indeed we are looking at it. In fact, what I'm doing is I've been doing this year is to go through what we call roadshows. So we go through every province. We talk to the entrepreneurs, we engage with them, we look at opportunities, and we tell them how we can assist. And that we've seen. So we've done Mpumalanga, we've done Limpopo, we've done Northwest, we've done KwaZulu-Natal. So next week we are in the Eastern Cape and we'll go all the way and then we'll do Free State as well. Because this is an attempt really, although we have presence in every, but it's really to help and bolster those ones. So this is one area which we will indeed, we are mindful and we have to ensure that the provincial spread is indeed improved so that it does not only benefit, the IDC does not only benefit what is called the Golden Triangle. Now, coming to Ogbay, in fact, we anticipated the question because of the interest that has been there. We've put in additional slides. I think the very last slide, I hope it is there.
So is it there? Where's that thing now?
Yeah. In fact, we anticipated because I looked at the... No, I think it's not in the presentation here, but it's in the... Yeah, in fact, because in the presentation, we didn't have it. So I looked at the number of parliamentary questions that we got on that. We said, let's just in case we asked. The simple answer is we have not lost money. That's a simple answer. We've put in 250 on the capital side. 75 million is outstanding. 175 has been repaid. In fact, in June... We got 37.5 to make it 275. I think when we answered some of the PQs, in fact, there was one specific one to say, last time when you came to the portfolio committee, you said you'll get your payment in June. So we got that, so that's why we're at 175. So we're still left to 75, and that will be paid in the next two installments of 37.5. But there's a 200, but when we did this transaction, there's a portion of interest, or we call it a return, because you can't call it an interest. If you call it an interest, you cannot have an interest more than your capital. Mm-hmm. So, but how it was structured is that we had a return. So that was 258, which we converted into shares when the entity was listed, and as a result of that, we own 3.57% of the entity. We checked the share price yesterday. I said the team must check it. That is worth about 514 million still, so we're still in the money. But in addition to that, what we've also said is for the capital that is outstanding, we're still charging interest at prime. So when the last installment comes, we'll also calculate what the interest is. So we'll do that. So, and the security that we took right at the beginning, it's still in place. Even though the amount that they owe us in terms of the capital, it's much less than that. We have not released the security. So I can give the committee comfort that we've not lost money. It's not in the impairments. We've not impaired it. We've got enough security. And we'd like to believe that, in fact, if anything, this has been a very lucrative deal. You know, when one of the, I was interviewed once, and then one of the executives in Oak Bay said the IDC is behaving like a loan shark. And whereas the other person on the other side, they said IDC has given this entity a very lucrative deal. Then I said, okay, then I think we're on the right path because we've got two varying views on that one. Chair, on FOSS, because I said there's been a number of questions that are talking to that. We've included a bit on the presentation, but there's two parts. Let me start with FOSCO. FOSCO, the biggest, as I said, this is the only phosphate rock company in South Africa. And it's the only one in Africa that beneficiates right through. Because then what it does, through its plant in Richards Bay, it processes the rock. Out of it comes phosphoric acid. And the CFO has shown in terms of revenue, it has shown about 6 billion, I think, revenue. So there's a lot of income that is coming in there and taxes that will be paid. But also, it is key on the agricultural side. But the biggest challenge this year and the past years has been the capitalization on the Richards Bay plant. It's an old plant, and we need to recapitalize that. That's one. Which is why we put in attention into that. So we've ensured that we recapitalize that. But Fosco also exports the phosphoric acid, largely to India, because India is the biggest market in terms of agriculture because of population. So what Fosco is doing is to want to further beneficiate more acid than we have, because we also worried that if now this acid becomes a commodity, so then India really dictates the price for all intents and purposes as the largest consumer. And also we're concerned with the number of other players that are coming, particularly in the Middle East, that put in new plants. So what we're doing is Fosco is looking at improving, supplying the granulars into the African continent, because there's an opportunity there. Because as we speak, when the phosphoric acid price is weak, indeed it does provide a strain to our profitability. In the past, it made profits, and in fact, we had put in R1 billion in the past. It paid us, and it gave us a dividend of about R1 billion. And as I came in, I think the minister did say, in fact, there was a scramble for people to go and wanting to buy Fosco. Maybe in hindsight, we should have sold it then. But then I was worried in the impact it will have in the agricultural sector, because because what the farmers do is they take the phosphate and then they blend it. It doesn't go all the way to the farmers, but it's very important in the value chain into the farmers. So it is important that on the agricultural side, there's a little bit of stability. But we are looking at it, and there's a lot of effort. As I said, the board risk committee is also looking at it. In fact, we're going to have another session to look at really ensuring that we turn it around, because we can't, as key as it is, but it can't stay really being subsidized by IDC. It can't. It needs to stand on its own and be sustainable. Also, the role it plays in Phalaborwa, it's one of the largest employers. And in itself, Fosco and Phalaborwa Copper, if those two were to close in Phalaborwa, that town will be dead. Right? So it's not only that, it's also the industries that are there. But having said that, we can't subsidize everybody for that. So there's an effort to that. It's also very key in Richards Bay, but at least in Richards Bay, there's lots of other industries. I mean, then I think Richards Bay will, I'm sure it can survive without Fosco. Now, coming to SCORE, when we bought 74% of SCORE, we wanted to ensure that industrialization stays in South Africa. And I think we've achieved that. Because in fact, at that stage when Anglo was selling that, there were people who wanted just to cut it into pieces and keep the nice part, which is the grinding media and everything else, just closed down. But we've also been aware that, in fact, we were aware that it's an old plant. It needs new technology, it needs new partner, which is why once we've stabilized it, but unfortunately, as we came in, I'm sure the members would remember, we went through particularly the platinum strike, where we went for an extended period on the strike. And SCORE supports a part of its business into the activities of the mining sector, and that affected it. But as I say, in fact, because the question was, is this not an albatross? Shouldn't we sell it off? And in fact, when we present next time, we'll be involved in all probabilities a minority shareholder in some, if not all, of the because there's divisions, there's four divisions. I mean, we wanted to, so we went out, we put in an advert, we said people, if they're interested, they can come in, either as partners for the whole thing or as partners for business, for parts of it. We only got very few interests on for the whole, but even those offers were not very attractive. But we've got a number on parts of it, and we're working on those. And in fact, it's both international players and local players, by the way, who are very keen on that. So, as I said, by the end of March next year, that process will be done, and we'll be having a different type of SCORE than we would see. Chair, I think there's a last point on ensuring that we don't just invest, but we look after our projects, because it's only not just the investments. And Chair, we have an executive. We created a new division called Post Investment, precisely to do that. And I actually put in an executive in charge of that investment so that we make sure that we look after some of these entities. And this is one area that we have to continue to do, because I think the observation is very spot on. It's not only just about putting money. It's to ensure that the jobs that were promised do indeed happen, that this company is indeed sustainable going into the future. I think, Chair, we answered all the questions, I hope, for this round.
Thank you very much. Are we satisfied?
Do we...
There was a question also linked to Fourscore and Sasol on the anti-competitive behavior. Apologies. Chair, the CFO said we engage with these entities at least twice a year. In fact, our starting point is every entity that we invest in has to respect the laws of South Africa, period. We don't compromise. Which is why you'll see, in fact, all of those investments we are in now, they've engaged with the Competition Commission. I think the last one to go into settlement is AMSA. Because what we don't do is we don't go out into the media and make a lot of noise, but we engage, we put pressure, and we nudge them to ensure that they are indeed competitive. They are indeed compliance with the laws, because we've said we are owned by government. If the shareholder is government, you can't be behaving in another way. So indeed, we are looking at that, and we continue to engage with them. In fact, I chair Fourscore, so they know. So you cannot do anything that is anti-competitive. We've said that to Score. That's why they came in when there was an investigation on the scrap metals. We've said that we also invested in Columbus Stainless Steel. They also came into the party to ensure that they play their role. And we've been pushing on AMSA, and now they've reached some settlements. So indeed, Chair, we do push them to ensure that they comply with the laws of the land. And on the Cape Ray, as I said, Chair, we are going to take that to ensure that we continue to help them. So we'll engage with Mohammed, will help me, because we need really to take them to the next level. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot. Obviously, we'll have to make a follow-up visit just to check on the progress in as far as the issues raised. And I think Mr. Vauder will be able to assist also on that. Any other? Yes, Dr. Kado?
Just two very quick ones. Do you have any involvement with businesses owned by the Guptas other than your Oak Bay loan? And secondly, on the question of that five...
To you, I don't think I'll accept a general question, because we are currently, just to protect IDC now, we are currently considering a report, the annual report. If your question is related to anything else under that, either than the Oak Bay, I think it needs to be specific and clear and indicate which area of the report are you referring to.
Oh. I suppose I was referring to the fact, or wanting to know, whether during the financial year under review you issued loans to any companies owned by the Guptas. My second question is around the $5 billion steel mill that at one point proposed. As a portfolio committee, we had a meeting to the Richards Bay Industrial Development Zone fairly recently, and there was some suggestion that this may possibly still be in the offing with the IDZ being a potential site for the steel mill. Could you give us a progress report on that? Thanks.
Thanks, Dr. Kado. Any other question? Thanks. You may respond.
Thanks, Chair. To the first answer, the answer is no. This is the only one we've had, and there's no other one that we've had to the owners of Oak Bay. On the steel mill, I apologize. I should have given a feedback, in fact, because what we've done, we... we were working with Hebe, who was our strategic partner. Now, looking at the steel environment, where it's still experiencing difficulties, we've come to a decision that we will suspend building any steel plant now, because there's no clear visibility of how quickly there will be any recovery. So we're not continuing the project for now. Once we are clear that there is some recovery, then we look at it. Because that was based on bringing in competition, but also looking at opportunities into the rest of the African continent as well. So now we've also seen, as I indicated right at the beginning, that some of those countries are also actually experiencing a strain, and then the growth levels are very low. So that support is not there. So we've agreed with Hebe still that we'll suspend it for now, and then once we see the recovery, then we'll be able to come back.
So the emphasis on suspension.
No. We have not abandoned it, yes. But we've suspended it. When there's recovery, then we will look at it again.
Okay. Thank you very much. Did you switch off your? Okay. In the absence of any further questions, may I take this opportunity to thank you as the IDC for your continuous excellent way of doing things. I think we are very proud of IDC in terms of the way you put your reports, very clear and easy to follow, and it shows that we have a woman as a leader. Even the previous one was a woman. So it couldn't be as progressive as it is if it weren't led by women. I'll join Matsimbi in toasting to that. Really, on a more serious note, I really want to thank you for the manner in which you have presented your documents and the questions as they arose from the floor. I think members ask these questions not as in a way of trying to be hard, but just to for you to be open, to open up to our people so that they can hear what the work that you're doing. Because sometimes it is said that you're not really reaching out to our people. But with these kinds of reports, you demonstrate to our people that you are indeed next to them, closer to them. But what is needed is for you to really go deeper and explain the type of work you're doing. Don't just explain, but be closer to them. I would also appeal that your front line, that's where your service is felt. Make sure that you are felt even more there, because it's either your people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, or they are really not servicing our people or not taking our people serious. The spirit that is here must also filtrate through to the lower level of our people. So it is important that as much as we discuss with those big companies, we are able also to reach out to those smaller ones, whether it's through your CSI or through any other outreach fund that you have that could cater for them, because you don't just build industries from somewhere in between. You start them from somewhere. They must also, I'm happy that one of the programs through the Department of Economic Development, together in partnership with the Free State province, they started a program of starting entrepreneurial lessons from primary school. If that succeeds, it means then that the country is going to go somewhere. Our learners are not going to just learn to be workers. They are going to learn to be employers. So that is what we need as South Africa. the most. So thank you very much, and continue with that revolution of industrializing our country. We need it. Thank you very much. Members, thank you very much for your cooperation, your participation. I think you are a very good team and to work with. I really appreciate your being there all the time and your participation. There is food will actually we're supposed to be going somewhere. I will give Peter Paul that opportunity to explain what is expected for after this, because apparently there's dinner. Yes.
Yes, Chair, there is a sit down dinner in venue V8.
V8, yes, it's down, is the oldest, next to the old assembly, next to the old assembly restaurant. May we please extend our invitation to yourselves, including the department, Mr. Vauda, if you can join us for the dinner. Thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned.
Hey, I'm going to